much, much quicker, sometimes even overnight. But now this is the ultimate goal of the spiritual wayfaring and the ubudiya. Now, what happens when one becomes selfish and self-centered, of course, is that instead of one becoming one with the Almighty, or to reach this tawheed, ultimate unity, one ends up focusing on their own self. One ends up becoming self-centered. One starts to believe that they are the center of the universe, and they are, you know, powerful and strong and in control and independent. And this is probably one of the most dangerous things that occurs on this path of ubudiya, which one must be very, very careful of. And of course, when one starts to become more self-centered and more arrogant and more self-centered, more selfish as well, then they start to say improper things. They start to say abnormal expressions. They start to lose control. And indeed, a very dangerous situation to find oneself in.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com.
أجب دعائي يا رجائي بالرضا والخير أنر طريقي مع صديقي باحترام الغير.
And now we invite you to listen to Brother Nu'man Ali Khan.
واعبدوا ربكم وافعلوا الخير لعلكم تفلحون.
And enslave yourselves and worship your master. In other words, now that you know ruku and sajda is done, that's not the only ibadah. You understand ibadah is more than that. Ibadah is an attitude. I'm a slave. I'm here to serve. Ibadah is how I walk, how I talk, how I think about myself, how I think about others. Your entire attitude gets transformed because of prayer. Prayer is actually a very big part of a Muslim's personality, just our behavior. Now prayer, we think of it as a behavior. Prayer actually, the daily salawat, they're supposed to have a really direct effect on how we think, our attitudes, our thought process, our mentality. Between Dhuhr and Asr, my thoughts are going to be impacted by the Dhuhr prayer. Between Asr and Maghrib, my thoughts, my priorities are going to be impacted by the Asr prayer. It's the way a Muslim carries himself as a abd. That's shape. That's what the salawat do. You know how pillars hold a building together? Hold our day together. They hold our day together. And between the between hours are dictated by what quality of salat we have. Salat itself becomes empty. The salat becomes just cardiovascular exercise. It's a review session for Surat al-Ikhlas and Surat al-Kawthar. Because you don't have time for anything more. You know? If it just becomes that, you're not going to see a change in your personality.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com.
Welcome back, dear listeners, in continuation to what we were saying, which was some of the dangers which one encounters on this path of ubudiya, on this path of the servitude to Allah, the worship of Allah, the obedience to Allah, I mean the worship to Allah. Some of the dangers which come about, we had said that one of the dangers that can come about is this action of riya, which we should definitely talk about in another program. The other thing that we said, which is one of the dangers that comes about upon this path of ubudiyya and this path of the servitude and the worship and the obedience to Allah, is that instead of one's focus being upon Allah, one's focus turns towards the self. And we had said that sometimes these acts of worship and these Gnostic practices and this asceticism and this spiritual journey, instead of leading towards Almighty Allah and this sort of oneness with Almighty Allah, in the metaphysical sense, of course, one ends up just strengthening their own self-centeredness, strengthening their own selfishness, and strengthening their own oneness. And what ends up happening is that an individual begins to lose control, of course. They start to say improper things. They start to use abnormal expressions. And it has been seen in history where individuals call themselves God, or people become deviated to an extent where they are no longer practicing the rites and the rituals and the laws of Islam, of course known as the Sharia. And so this is one of the dangers, and it is quite dangerous, because the more one becomes focused upon the self, the less one will focus upon Allah. And the whole purpose of ubudiyya and the whole purpose of this worship to Allah and this servitude to Allah and this obedience to Allah, of course, the common denominator is Allah. And so that is what our focus should be. It is interesting, but we have seen that among these saliks, these spiritual wayfarers, these ascetics, these urafa, these devotees, we find throughout history that there were persons who practiced asceticism and self-purification, yet their exercises only end up aggravating the impurity that was within their heart and the darkness that was within themselves. Now, of course, you know, when an individual begins to do these kind of self-purification exercises, one begins to strengthen their soul and focus on this spiritual wayfaring, you know, they end up realizing how strong they are, how powerful they are. And truly an individual who is spiritually powerful, that individual is much stronger than somebody who is merely physically powerful. And in many cases, when individuals start to go higher up in the levels of ubudiyya, it is highly encouraged to have a teacher or to have a master, have a ustad. An ustad is a teacher who helps one to be able to go through this maze of spiritual wayfaring, especially at the higher levels, levels that are not easily accessible to, for example, individuals like myself. But again, from the beginning to the end of the spiritual wayfaring and this divine spiritual journey and this migration towards Allah, of course, is for one to be careful of the intrusions of shaitan and to always, always focus as much as they can upon the Most Merciful, the Almighty, Allah.
IRIB English Radio. Our website, www.parshtoday.com.
Now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
There's a very beautiful hadith from the 8th Imam, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, where he describes how every hope or every desire has to have action coupled with that. He who asks for paradise from Allah but is not patient over trials and difficulties has ridiculed himself. He who comes to God for shelter from the fire of hell but does not leave his worldly desires has ridiculed himself. It's a very beautiful hadith. We can spend lots of time on this. He who thinks about death but does not make himself ready for death has ridiculed himself. So we cry, we mourn for death, yet I live my life the way I'm going to live forever. Literally, I don't know if God is laughing at us. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's the right thing to say. But I ridiculed myself. Yeah, I don't know how else to say it. Or the imam to describe it in a better manner. He who remembers God but does not hasten in meeting Him, does not prepare himself to meet God, has ridiculed himself. So this is the imam is describing what tawakkul is that in every one of these things, my trust and hope was in God. God can seek my protection from Him. I seek forgiveness from Him. I want to meet Him. Everything has to do with God. But I need to take steps towards that action. I need to make sure that I am going towards what God wants from me. And if I don't do that second part, then I have not done tawakkul. I have done something else. I have ridiculed myself. And this is what the Imam alayhi salam is describing tawakkul. And this is a very important concept to understand.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Children in Qatar are helping a conservation program revive the population of a critically endangered species of turtles. The children help release the baby turtles after they hatch, which usually takes place during the dark hours of the evening. The hawksbill mothers are cared for, if needed, when they arrive at the beach today, their eggs. When the little turtles emerge, the weaker ones are taken to facilities at the foundation. There they are cared for until they are strong enough to be returned to sea. Program managers say getting children involved helps raise awareness about the endangered species and how they can help prevent some of the challenges these turtles face.
As adults, we are kind of beyond hope. Our brain is no longer plastic. We can't really learn new things. But children have the power to really internalize all these things that they're learning, that they're seeing. They make these habits part of their life. They make decisions based on, is it good for the environment, alongside with economic value for money kind of decisions. And this is what we want to cultivate.
The children also get a chance to form bonds with the hawksbill turtles. Some of them have even named the one they are going to release. That's why life experts with the conservation program say only 1% of every 1,000 hatchlings make it to adulthood. Poaching, climate change, fishing nets and marine pollution have all contributed to the dwindling numbers of the species. The program was launched roughly a decade ago and has released 30,000 hatchlings into the sea in the last 5 years. Experts are optimistic about the success of the program.
the more scientists make progress in space exploration, the more they get persuaded to delve into the mysteries of the universe. Now, the release of stunning full-color images from deep in the cosmos has put astronomers on the edge of their seats. NASA has unveiled high-resolution pictures from its James Webb telescope, which is the largest space-based observatory ever launched. The images took 2 weeks to render from raw telescope data. The $9 billion infrared James Webb was launched on Christmas in 2021. It reached its destination in solar orbit nearly 1 million miles from Earth a month later. Then the telescope underwent months-long process to unfurl all of its components. James Webb is now finely tuned and fully focused. The telescope is expected to shed light on the life cycles on planets of planets and galaxies.
The International Fajr Fashion and Clothing Festival has drawn fashion designers from Iran and around the world. The designs displayed are trendy, and at the same time they conform to the Islamic dress code. Yusuf Jalali has this report.
It's the Iranian fashion's biggest day. The 11th Fajr Fashion and Clothing Festival brought under one roof fashion designers from across Iran and some other Muslim nations to step up their designs.
I have participated here as a fashion designer. I am so happy to be a part of this event because it acts as a platform that links designers to producers and it helps like promote quality design in the market.
This festival is a major event in the Islamic world's fashion industry because it helps promote fashionable clothes that conform to Islamic guidelines.
A typical Iranian woman wears a button-up coat called manto and a scarf covering the head. Some others wear a piece of cloth called chador, which covers the body from head to toe. One of the challenges Iranian fashion designers have to deal with is to tailor their designs to Islamic dress code or hijab while keeping them trendy.
Clothes represent the identity of a nation. As a designer, my mission is to design clothes that best represent the dresser's nationality and their culture. At the same time, the aesthetic aspect of the garment need to catch the attention. I think this is an ultimate artistry if accomplished.
Smuggling is another persisting problem in the Iranian clothing industry. Out of the $8 billion annual turnover of Iran's garment industry, a whopping $5 billion is supplied through smuggling, say activists here. Experts say one of the reasons smuggling has the lion's share in Iran's clothing market is that it's more cost-effective to import foreign clothes rather than produce them domestically.
We are making our best efforts to push down the production costs, including the associated taxes, in order to promote designs that reflect our Islamic and Iranian identities, opposed to Western designs that seek to dominate global markets.
With all the actors in Iran's fashion industry present in the Fajr Festival, the event is seen as a place to highlight and address the challenges, with the aim to provide the stage for Iranian fashion activists to shine in the domestic market.
It might seem contradictory when we would associate fashion with the Islamic dress code, but it's the art of a fashion designer that sews traditions to style and designs clothes that are both stylish and hijab. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Elephants are the largest living animals on Earth that, in many cultures, are associated with good luck, wisdom, and fertility. But their overpopulation has become a matter of concern in the southeastern African nation of Malawi.
We want to reduce the population of elephants. in this park, in Luanda National Park, because currently we have 600 plus elephants in this park. We would be comfortable, ecologically speaking, that is, to have 300 elephants in this park.
Officials say they will relocate 250 elephants from a national park in a southern town to another park by the end of July. They say the plan is part of a national conservation initiative to maintain healthy habitats in the country's national parks. Establishing viable elephant populations and ensuring the prosperity of local communities around the parks are said to be the other aspects. Residents say the elephants often stray into their gardens and damage their crops. Authorities had relocated some 300 elephants from the same town in 2019.
A zoo in Mexico City celebrates the birthday of two very special residents, bringing cheers and excitement to visitors. Chinese pandas Xin Xin and Xuan Xuan have turned 35 and 33, becoming the oldest pandas in human captivity. China gifted their ancestors to Mexico back in 1975 to boost the relationships between the two countries. Later on, and thanks to the hard work of caretaker teams, 8 cubs were born from the parents. Zoo officials say for them, learning the A to Z of panda care was a long journey.
The pandas living in Chapultepec, Xuan Xuan and Jin Jin, turned 35 and 33 years old, respectively. When their parents arrived, we didn't know much about pandas, so vets and biologists had to follow recommendations from those who took care of giant pandas in the People's Republic of China. From then on, we evolved. We found new and better diets and daily care practices such as vaccine administration or parasite removal. Then they started to breed, which was quite a success since it was the first panda that was born and which survived named Toy.
The birthday celebration has coincided with the zoo's 99th foundation anniversary. A panda's normal lifespan is estimated at about 15 to 20 years for those out in nature and about 30 years for the ones in human care. But the good news is, despite their old age, Xuan Xuan and Xin Xin are in perfectly good shape. A goat in the Pakistani city of Karachi has made the headlines for its not-so-ordinary looks. The animal owns strikingly long ears. Simba was only born last month, and his ears have already reached the length of 54 centimeters. The goat's breeder, Muhammad Hassan Narejo, says he has approached Guinness World Records to see if Simba can be included as the greatest of all time, or the goat, for this peculiar feature. The kid is in the center of attention, so he receives all sorts of help to live a smoother life. This includes a special harness for his ears and daily religious rituals to wish him good health. The breeder says that by promoting Simba's image, he is trying to introduce Pakistan as a major goat breeding nation.
The sky is the limit for wind sports in Iraq's Kurdistan region as members of the paragliding team launched into the sunset. Tourists have also come to watch team members bravely run towards the edge of the cliff of Mount Asmar. They usually take off facing the west to catch the sunset and then glide down towards the gray green meadows. The windy landscape around Iraq's northeastern city of Sulaymaniyah is a hot spot for paragliding. Participants of the sport say it requires a lot of physical strength and mental concentration. Some say their favorite aspect of the activity is the intense silence when flying high above the ground. A young British artist has found an incredible way to create art using not pen or paper, but typewriter. Symbols and letters are turned into complex drawings by this 25-year-old's adept fingers, gaining him attention online. London-based James Cork, who studied architecture, used to draw portraits. But that all changed when he discovered his now signature tool, the typewriter, in 2014. He says the idea came to his mind when he came across Paul Smith, an artist from the 1920s, who produced similar work. Initially, Cook thought it impossible, but he gave it a try. Now, after 8 years, he can draw complex images from Hollywood star Tom Hanks to the London Eye or the Millennium Bill. But while his works appear flawless to viewers, Cook says it never gets any easier and that it's always a challenge for him.
There's something really satisfying about kind of using this sort of limited palette of... You basically have about 44 keys on a typewriter on average. So you've got to kind of puzzle piece those letters, numbers, punctuation marks together to make a drawing.
Recently, online interest has encouraged Cook to pursue his passion. People donate their typewriters to Cook, who gives these machines a second life. He now has a collection of more than 40 typewriters dating from the early 20s.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everyone. Welcome to Arab English Radio. This is Asma, your humble host for today's episode, and you're hearing me from Q&A on Islamic Belief, where you could get the answers to all your questions. Well, today we have Dr. Karimi, scholar of religious studies, who will help us with the answers. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, Dr. Karimi.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Today's question is about the prophets, and we have in the Holy Book of Quran in verse 110 from Surah Al-Kahf that says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. And we just want to focus on that part in which, well, actually the translation of that verse is that, say that I'm just a human being like the others. Though I have revelations and there are manifestations upon me. So we just want to focus on that point that they say the prophet is actually has to say that I'm like the other people. So now there is this question that are they really like the normal ordinary beings?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This verse is talking about our prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. And as you rightly mentioned, the verse reads, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I am just a human being like you. But the point is that those people who, refer to this verse to somehow reduce the status and the position of the prophets, especially our prophet, they just pay attention to this part, أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I'm a person like you, but just ignore the following phrase where God says, Yuha ilay, it is revealed to me. It's like going, La ilaha illallah negates the existence of God because it says, La ilaha, there is no God. So without paying attention to illallah, the message is incomplete.
Considering just a short part of it and then deciding
exactly.
Based on that.
So this part of the verse has two messages. Ana basharun mithlukum, I'm a human being like you, but then yuha ilay, it's being revealed to me. I receive revelation. So what is the message of the first part? قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْ has also been mentioned in chapter Fussilat, verse 6. And the point of this part is that some people objected and raised this issue that why there is no angel coming to us from God to as a kind of the prophet. So why a human being is being sent to us as the prophet? Or why the prophet is like us? I mean, he's eating food, he's walking in the bazaar, and so on and so forth. For example, in chapter Furqan, verse 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ. And they say, what sort of prophet is this? يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامِ. He eats food, وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ, and walks in the marketplaces. لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ. Why has not an angel been sent down to him? فَيَكُونَ مَعَهُ نَذِيرًا, so as to be a warner along with him. So that was an objection against the prophet, that why the prophet is like us, a human being. So to answer the objection of the people, the Holy Prophet, first of all, is telling them that أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Why do I take food? Because I'm a human being like you. Why I'm going to the marketplaces? Because I'm a human being. I need to go to buy food and buy whatever I need. Or in other verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the fact that the prophets also got married. I mean, this is a tradition for all the people, including the prophets. We have it about Prophet Nuh, Prophet Lut, and our prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. The next point is that when God says that أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, the prophets say that I'm a human being like you, it means that they will not live for eternity. They will die like any other human being as well. The same has been mentioned in other verses. For example, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرًا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ الْخُولِ. O prophet, eternity has not been there for any person before you. And إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. This is another verse. You, O prophet, will also die, and they will die. Or كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every person will taste the death. So when God is telling the people that أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ is referring to the fact that if a prophet is going to be sent to the people, it cannot be an angel. It should be a human being.
A human being just like you.
Just like you. Just like you. Why? Because of at least two reasons. First of all, the Holy Prophet is a role model for human beings.
Exactly.
And if he's not a man, if he's not a human being, he cannot be a role model. Imagine if a jinn comes to the people as a prophet, or an angel comes to the people, and then tell them that please, fast for 30 days in hot summer.
Then the human people being will tell him, you're a jinn, that's
exactly,
easy for you.
Yeah, that's nothing for you. You're an angel, you do not need any food. So, a prophet from another so-called species cannot be a role model for the people. That is why, the human being need a prophet like themselves in the form of a human being. Interestingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if on the earth the angels were living, then an angel would have been sent to them as the prophet. Allah says in chapter Isra, verse 95, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ. Say, had there been angels in the earth walking around and residing in it like humans do, لَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَكًا رَسُولًا. We would have sent down to them an angel from the heaven as the prophet. So that's the point. The prophet should be a role model. If the angels were living on the earth, the prophet would be an angel. Now we are living
Since
as human beings.
Since we're human beings, the prophet must be a human being.
Exactly.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. And the next point is that we know that we have the knowledge of the unseen. And as Muslims, we need to also believe in the world of the unseen. There are some scriptures, some facts that we are not able to see, but they are realities. And this is called Alamul Ghaib in the Noble Book of Quran and the narrations. And we need to believe
that
in
that. That is the world of unseen.
Yeah, the world of the unseen. And the angels belong to that world. Now, one of the points is that when, of course, first of all, we believe in God based on the rational arguments. We believe in the prophet based on the rational arguments. And when the prophet is telling us that there is the world of the unseen, we need to believe in that, although we are not able to see that. So it doesn't mean that our fundamental beliefs have no rationality. No, there is a kind of hierarchy beginning from God, going to the prophet, and proving the prophet, I mean, prophethood of our prophet and the Noble Book of Quran. And then we need to accept whatever is mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran, which, of course, is according to the intellect as well. Now, my point is that if the prophet were in the form of the angels, then, I mean, there is no issue of the believing in the world of the unseen, because people are seeing that angel, and there is no value for that anymore. So the belief in the world of the unseen is valuable when you are not able to see that world. That is why when you have a prophet in the form of the human being, and he tells you of the world of the unseen, then it makes much different for you to whether believe in the world of the unseen mm-hmm. or not. It's been mentioned in the couple of verses of the Noble Book of Quran, for example, وَقَارُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ. They say, why has not an angel been sent down to him, that is the prophet? So it was a common objection of the polytheists that we need to see an angel, then we will believe in the prophet. But God says that وَلَوْ أَنزَلْنَا مَلَكًا لَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. Were we to send down an angel, the matter would surely be decided. Meaning that then, everything is clear.
It was easier for all of you to believe.
And this world is the world of tests and, I mean, trial on for the people to think and ponder and come to this conclusion that this is the prophet, and then they need to believe in the world of the unseen. So these are two points that the prophet should be in the form of a human being to be a role model and for the importance of the belief in the world of the unseen. That is the message of the first part. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. But does it mean that, so if this is the case, then what is the difference between us and the prophets? I mean, we are at the same level. The Holy Prophet himself is telling us that I'm a human being just like you, but you Muslims or Shia believe that they have a very greater status and position before God than us. What is the difference? The difference is the next phrase of the verse. Yuha ila. Yes, I'm a human being like you. But the difference is that I'm able to receive the revelation. And it mm-hmm. makes the story so much different. It's, so much difference between an ordinary man and a person who is able to receive the revelation.
Well, I could say that biologically speaking, they're the same as other human beings.
Exactly.
But spiritually, they've grown so much in a way that they can have connection to God.
And the prophets are not born as prophets.
Exactly.
I mean, they have done spiritually speaking
a
lot so that exactly
they've practiced piety.
God chooses them among the people.
And also, maybe God wants us to understand that if there's a human being like you that could be infallible, then you could practice that as well.
Exactly, definitely.
So that is the point.
So having said that, when it comes to Yuha Eli receiving revelation, at least it's referring to three features. Because a person who receives the revelation needs to be infallible. We are talking about the concept of isma. So yes, he's a person like us, but he's infallible.
Exactly, which is a totally different story than it's one session.
Yeah, and the next point is knowledge. We are talking about the vast knowledge of the prophet which he receives from God and also the miracle that he performs.
Mm-hmm.
All these are related to the concept of receiving the revelation. So my point is that it is true that the Holy Prophet is like a human like us and it has philosophies, but he receives revelation, which means that he's infallible, he has divine knowledge, he's able to perform miracles, and so on and so forth. So we cannot, reduce and decrease the great status and position of the
prophets. Yes, the value of the prophets by saying, okay, they're just like other human beings, so there's no difference between them and the others. So you are listening to Arab English Radio. I hope today's episode was fruitful enough to help you with a better understanding of Islamic concept. For more information, you can visit parstoday.com. Until next session and a new episode of Q&A on Islamic Belief, may Allah protect and bless you all.
حسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Days belong to Allah, but certain days have special characteristics because of which they become the days of Allah. The day that He conquered Mecca is the day of Allah. The day of Kharijit is the day when the commander of the faithful drew his sword and mowed down those corrupt, cancerous glands. This is also the day of Allah, those holier than thou, whose believing in Allah was not for real, though their foreheads were 100 with calluses, marks of stone, clay for prayer, were in fact the ones who murdered the commander of faithful. They rose up against the commander of the faithful, peace be upon him. They rose up against him, though they were stated, and be thou upright as thou art commanded. While another surah, so tread thou the straight path as thou art commanded, and those who turn unto Allah with thee.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the Shi'ism. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini has said that the Shia school has always been the school of sacrifice. When we see the history, we see that it was the Shia school through which Islam survived. It was the Shia school which always had been the school of sacrifice, because we can see that right after the demise of the Prophet, whereas we have the narrations of the Prophet about Ali ibn Abi Talib wa Shi'atihi, there is a narration by the Prophet that, O Ali, you and your Shia, Ya Ali, anta wa Shi'atuka humul faizun, you and your Shia are the successful ones. Therefore, when we look at the word Shia, it's been rooted in the wordings of the Prophet. And on the other hand, the Shia school of thought has always been the school of sacrifice. Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi, sallallahu alayhi. We can see that there were many from our imams, first starting from the imams, the successors of the Prophet, they all got martyred by the enemies. Imam Ali alayhi salam got martyred. After him, they killed Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Then Imam Hussein got martyred in the land of Karbala. And the way the family of Imam Hussein was made captive. And after that, Imam Zainul Abidin. After that, we can see like how was the life of Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, Imam Musa Kadhim. And after that, similarly, every single imam, and at the end, like Imam Hassan Askari, how he was obviously made in prison in Samarra. All these things shows us that the Shia school of thought has been the school which has gave the sacrifices. And obviously, the libraries of the Shia school of thought were burned at a time how Allama Hilli and his other followers, or Allama Majlisi, how they wrote the books. There were many scholars, there were many who used to be known as Alavi or Shia. They were killed. So many followers of Ahlul Bayt. Therefore, Imam Khomeini is saying that the Shia school of thought has always been the school of sacrifice, and we must be proud of it, and inshallah, we must follow this school in order to be successful, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jafar Gonzalez.
Life is passing, as the water flowing in the river passes when it seeks the sea. And I, heedlessly, sit on the threshold of my house and stare at the passing of life.
My name is Raul González Bornés. I am from Madrid. I was born in 1950 in an active, combatant, communist, and anti-fascist family.
Comunistas, militantes.
I studied in Ramiro de Mastero School. I received my diploma and then went to university to study technical communication engineering and electronic engineering. I studied engineering till 1968 and I was arrested for anti-fascist activities.
Por mis actividades antifascistas fui detenido.
This was my class when I was 7. At the age of 8, 9, yes, it has changed a lot. It was like small houses before. Indeed, it has changed a lot.
Esta es la entrada de Andalucía.
This is the entrance of Andalusia. This region is called España Berocelos. Currently, we are passing Costija Flat. We are descending to the sea. A new land with a different culture starts from here. A different idea of life. A different soul. A different soul and mind.
Alma de un pueblo oprimido.
After my release from prison, I started to work in filmmaking. In 1972, I was forced to do my obligatory military service. When I was doing my military service, I was arrested, imprisoned, and tortured. I was imprisoned in the military ward at the Carabanco prison in 1974, a little after the assassination of Carrero Blanco, who was General Franco's prime minister. That is, a year before General Franco's death, I was released from prison.
Poco después del atentado contra Carrero Blanco y en el año 74, es decir, un año antes de la muerte del general Franco, fui liberado.
That is, sentenced to a year in prison after the court, but I was released a little before the court.
Prácticamente es lo que ya había estado antes del juicio, fui liberado.
Esta escuela tiene un equipo de...
This school had an important basketball team, which was called Student. At the age of 10, we started to play basketball. We gathered here to go to the class, and here we played basketball. Andalusia has a deep soul and spirituality. This soil is so deep. It is land with a people who have majestic feelings. Great regional feelings, great artistic feelings, and great human feelings. It was a mosque before. They've changed it to a church. Flamenco started from here. When a farmer is working on his farm, his tear and song flow on his tongue in the form of flamenco. They stole the history of this land up to the point that people do not know who their ancestors were. There was a statue of General Franco here. The first and second grade students were all in this place. They played music here. We played basketball there, and here we played soccer. Everywhere here was open before, but now they are closed. Yes, it is all closed.
Only if one of them knows the real history of this land, he will tear.
Justice.
They collected the Qurans and other sacred books and burned all of them. And now, after 500 years, they still celebrate the anniversary of Granada's conquest every year as if they had done a heroic deed. It was a city whose governor surrendered in order to prevent bloodshed. They gave the city disarmed to some barbarians who did not have any heart and pity. They did not understand any languages except oppression. They had no God except money. It is a lie that they were Christians. They never believed in Christ. They never believed in Christ's message. Franco died and democracy reached Spain, and it was the beginning of tears of great disappointment in me because we saw the new democracy and the former one were the same. The only difference is that the new democracy is shown better. The new democracy came with a better disguise, but with more oppression and dictatorship. I saw most of the people who had fought against fascism and all accepted the new logics. They surprisingly accepted even to join the play they called democracy. This made me so disappointed. I started to feel a kind of absurdity in myself. But they could not make me deal with this system and accept it. This issue caused a kind of isolation and seclusion.
Con lo cual comienza para mí una etapa de marginación.
There are many Spanish words which have Arabic roots, like al-zakia or al-zaytun. It was a time when I felt that I had received a message inviting me to leave Madrid. And some months later, this message of leaving Madrid took me to Granada Mountains for discovering nature. I got familiar with some persons who came here to live. I came here too and lived with them in nature for 4 years. We did not have electricity or gas. We had a primitive life. The house which was located here was a ruin. We asked its owner to let us repair it. We wanted to repair it with logs and stocks, like the other houses here, which are built in a traditional way. Here in nature, we watched the stars at night because there was no electricity. The sky was clear. We could see the passing of the sun and the moon. We saw signs of nature, passing of the seasons, and leaves changing color in the spring. Little by little, I started to think that generally somebody created this process. I started to think about the existence of a creator.
Alguien que lo había creado y empecé a pensar en la posibilidad de la existencia del creador.
I was reading different Bibles, which ended with reading a book by Oscar, titled La Epistola de Profrotium. This book speaks about Jesus Christ in a way that I had never heard throughout my life. Having read the Bible, I found that Christ's message is undoubtedly a divine speech.
El mensaje de Jesús y el mensaje de la palabra divina, sin duda.
Finally, in the early days of 1983, I started a kind of fasting. I was alone.